This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. This time, it was supposed to be different. Young people would defy recent political history and finally show up and vote. Well, before the election, unprecedented numbers of potential voters registered, many of them in that 18 to 29-year-old category, though no one was sure how many would actually come out and cast a ballot. What really happened last Tuesday depends on who you talk to. Turnout was up. 4.6 million more young people voted than 4 years ago, and groups like Rock the Vote hail that as a major victory. But interest in the election was up among all age groups. That means that the percentage of young voters was about the same as it was in 2000. This hour, a look at what all these numbers mean and what they say about voter participation and about campaigning for the votes of young people. Later in the program, an update from Iraq, where the long-anticipated offensive in Fallujah is underway. But first, did young people vote, or didn't they? If you're young, let us know what you and your friends did, or call and tell us what you think needs to be done to energize young people. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. And to begin, we turn to Jamu Green, president of MTV's Rock the Vote. She's with us here in Studio 3A. Thanks very much for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And before we go anywhere else, young people were more energized than before. They turned out to vote in record numbers.
Absolutely. They turned out to vote in record numbers. This is the first time since 1972 when 18-year-olds got the right to vote that we've seen a majority of young people turn out. The energy and enthusiasm that we saw from young people, not just as they were registering people to vote, as they were phone banking, as they were knocking on doors, that energy also translated into an increased buzz and excitement in this election that I think has a lot to do with why overall the entire electorate increased. And to talk about the fact that maybe they didn't increase their share of the percentage of the electorate as the number to look at, I think is just, it's a backwards way of really highlighting the record turnout, the increased enthusiasm for this election that young voters put on the line for the last year and really turned things around.
Well, let's look briefly at another number, though. You said a majority. A majority of what?
A majority of eligible young voters under the age of 30 turned out on November 2nd,
and
51%.
If you look at that number as in terms of percentage of the total number of young people in the population, how does it look?
The percentage of the electorate did stay the same. 17% of the electorate voted in 2000, 17% voted in 2004, as far as the makeup of young voters. But 51% of eligible young voters turned out.
Registered is what you mean by eligible?
Eligible, okay. Young voters.
You mean they had to be registered to be eligible?
They did not have to be registered to be eligible. They just have to be under the age of 30, between the ages of 18 to 30. The numbers of registration is harder to really pull out because that's more people who are just reporting that they're registered versus the actual numbers. So we refer to it as eligible voters. I think if you look at the fact, again, that over 50% of them, the first time we've seen a majority turnout, the first time we've seen, you know, this type of increase since 1972, this was an incredible year for young voters. We said 20 million 18 to 30-year-olds would turn out. By the time they're done adding up all of the ballots, that number could be 23, 24 million. We by far surpassed all of our goals.
Okay. So what worked?
What worked was voter registration. The surge in the registration numbers we saw in the last 2 months leading up to the deadlines. Our goal we set out at Rock the Vote to register 1 million people. We had over 1.2 million people download voter registration forms from rockthevote.com. A couple of 100,000 other young people register on the streets through our happy birthday card programs, through our street teams. And just, you know, totally blew away even the goal of registering 1 million voters by registering almost 1.5 million. We had over $40 million of resources put in by nonprofit organizations, the New Voters Project, Declare Yourself, the energy that came from the entertainment community to really make it the case that on campus, in coffee houses, in malls, politics is what was being discussed. For the first time, if you weren't engaged in a conversation about what was happening in the election, you were probably being left out. And those are all of the types of things that work. The registration, the buzz that was created, and I think most importantly, the engagement that we saw this generation really focus in on the issues that drove them to turn out in large numbers.
Evidently, it worked in evangelical churches as well.
Absolutely. I think, no one can complain when we have seen a reversal of what was a crisis in our American democracy, when you have so many people opting out of participating. And in this election year, when that trend has been turned around, when, different groups have shown up in larger numbers than we've seen in some time, that's something that should be applauded across the board, and especially for young people who I think are responsible for driving this type of energy and engagement in the election across the board. They were the ones knocking on the doors. They were the ones handing out flyers.
Well, to be fair, young people have always been tapped for political campaigns as providing that energy for the volunteers. It didn't always translate into a turnout at the polls.
And this year it did. It translated into turnout at the polls. It translated into record numbers. And I think it's going to translate into an increased engagement coming out of this election. On election day, the work was only half done. They want to talk about jobs. They want to talk about health care. They want to talk about the rising cost of tuition. And they want answers from all of the people who were elected.
Well, let's see what they want to talk about. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Let's begin with Linda, who's with us from St. Louis, Missouri.
Hi.
Hi.
I voted both 4 years ago and this year, and it seemed like everybody was really wanting to go. All my friends were really wanting to go. I'm 23. We all went out and voted, but we all pretty much felt defeatist no matter what we did.
Defeatist? What do you mean by defeatist?
Well, we went into it knowing who was going to win, but we really tried to, keep the,
Let me just interpolate. You suspected the president was going to win, but you were voting for Mr. Kerry?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you thought Mr. Bush would win?
Yeah, very much so. I live right on the edge of St. Louis, and you can see the rural strength versus the city strength, and, rural takes over a little bit more in Missouri.
So was this just an interpretation in terms of the state of Missouri? And I think just about every electoral strategist would have agreed with you about Missouri or about the nation at large.
Well, I think everybody thinks that Missouri is one of the little microcosms of the nation. I mean, it is pretty representative. So I believe that since Missouri went the way that they did, it kind of was going to fall the same way.
Now, you voted 4 years ago and this time around. Did you see a different energy this time around amongst your friends, other young people?
Yeah, it was a little bit more worn out, a little bit more tired. Like, the Gore-Bush thing was a little bit more, I felt more energized. And this just felt like, okay, we're going to vote for Kerry because it's not Bush, opposed to, we're going to vote for Gore or something along those lines.
So you didn't see a dramatically different difference this time around in terms of positive energy around the election?
No, not really.
Okay.
I thought it was a lot more positive last time.
All right. Linda, thanks very much.
No problem.
Appreciated it. And let's try another caller now, Jessica. Jessica's calling from Tallahassee in Florida.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
Well, my question is that, I live in Tallahassee, and it's a college town, and there's a lot of youth because of FSU and Florida A&M University, and I'm also African-American, and I am in the youth of 29, and I did vote, and I voted in the last election. My feeling was is that both candidates, they tried to reach out to the youth vote, Kerry more so than Bush, but I don't think that the issues that would have affected the youth the most weren't really truly addressed.
And what would those have been?
I think, being it's a college town, the price of going to college, then the job situation, because you have so many graduates and they don't know what type of working environment they're walking into with the economy the way it is now.
Right.
And then also the fact that with the situation in Florida, the youth vote was energized here. It was very energized here because they didn't want another debacle like in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I get the feeling that they've been let down after this election.
Because?
They don't feel that their needs were heard or met or whatever.
Well, we're told the youth vote in Florida and elsewhere broke decisively for Mr. Kerry? Do you think there's disappointment, Jessica, that the candidate favored by the majority of young people didn't win?
Well, yes, because Kerry seemed he was really, really reaching out to the youth vote, and he seems like he really wanted to hear what we were saying, where Bush was more of on the lines of evangelical Christians and
some of those are young, you know.
Yeah, I know some of those are young, but being in a town dominated by two huge universities, cities, those issues didn't play so strongly with the youth as jobs, the economy, the war, especially when they started bringing up the issue of a possible draft.
Which both candidates said they opposed. But anyway, Jessica, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. I wanted to get a response from Jamu Green.
Well, I would start by saying thank you for voting, not just in 2000, voting again this time around. I think that, you know, when you look at the numbers of young people that did support the Kerry Edwards ticket, they should definitely feel like they had an impact in this election, because it was these votes in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in state after state that kept this race close, that kept this a contested race. The increase in youth voter turnout, the way that they broke for Kerry, I don't think we would have seen as contested a race if it wasn't for these young voters. So that's proof in itself that we have the absolute possibility and potential and the ability to have an impact on the election. I think the political consultants are going to start to realize that a little bit more closer than they did this time around. They took some steps in the right direction. Kerry, I think, did, make some positive inroads with this generation in talking to them about the issues that were on their plate. And I think also the Republican Party did that. But those are initial steps. They've got to spend their dollars more. They've got to go to these college campuses and talk about how they're going to deal with the rising cost of tuition. They've got to come up with policy positions that really do address these issues. They started doing that. They started asking young voters more. And the Kerry voters, they had an impact for their candidate by far. They delivered states, and the impact of the Bush voters was tremendous. They helped deliver the win for their candidate as well.
Let me ask you a question then. Is Rock the Vote a four-year, every four-year effort, or what do you do to keep people engaged between this election and the next election, which, of course, is 2 years away, and just 1 year away in some states?
Well, we ask everyone to rock the vote every day. Again, the work is only half done on election day. It is absolutely necessary to hold these elected officials accountable to the issues that really spurred thousands of new voters to turn out, millions of new voters to turn out, and drove a surge in participation. And it is exactly what Jessica said. It's these issues that are confronting young people, the fact that they graduate from college, they move back in with their parents, they have got $20,000 worth of debt, and holding them accountable.
Okay. Thanks very much for being with us, Jamu Green. I appreciate you joining us today. Jamu Green, president of MTV's Rock the Vote, joined us here in Studio 3A. We're going to turn briefly, before we go to the break, to Thomas Patterson, a professor of government and the press at Harvard's Kennedy School, author of The Vanishing Voter. He's with us from the studios at Harvard University. Good to have you back on the program.
Thank you, Neil.
Just have about 45 seconds left before the break, but Jamu Green was talking about the glass half full. Can you also see it as half empty?
Well, no, I think it is half full. Her numbers are entirely consistent with the others I've seen, and this 9.3 percentage point increase in the young voters, that's the largest in at least four decades, perhaps even since the Depression era, when we had another big increase in turnout. And another point would be in battleground states. They really turned out closer to 60% in the battleground states. So, I think the young voters delivered this time.
Okay. Stay with us. And when we come back, we're going to take more of your calls and emails about the questions about the young vote, what happened this time around, and, well, where does it go from here? What happens next time around? 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. Back after the break, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about voter turnout among young people in this election and whether it disappointed or exceeded expectations. We're speaking with Thomas Patterson, a professor of government and the press at Harvard's Kennedy School, author of The Vanishing Voter: Public Involvement in an Age of Uncertainty. And he's with us from the studios at Harvard University. And if you weren't with us before the break, I think the conclusion, Thomas Patterson, I don't mean to put words in your mouth, but the turnout was up. It was up in proportion with turnout across the country. Youth vote did turn out this time.
It did, and I think some of the early reports that were kind of discouraging about the youth vote, they were looking at the percentage of the electorate, and the youth vote this time was exactly the same as it was in 2000, 17%, and some people concluded that meant that young people hadn't come to the polls. But, you know, this was an election that brought lots of Americans to the polls. And then when you look at young people and the change that in their percentage of participation compared with 2000, this is the largest increase in decades, over 9%. We'd been losing young voters. We had 50% in the 60s and in 1972. And then it had fallen, into the 30% range. And essentially to get it kind of all back in one election, I think it was stunning.
Who were these young voters? And first of all, by young voters, we're talking about that age group from 18 to 29, correct?
That's correct.
And who are they otherwise? Do we have any breakdowns in terms of college-educated, high school graduates, any other delineations of that group?
Well, here I think is where we see the glass half empty. One of the things that's been happening to our electorate is becoming more and more tilted toward those who've gone to college. And that's also true of young voters. The difference between the two groups was about a third in the 1960s. And now among college-educated youth, the voting rate is nearly twice that as it is among the non-college-educated. And if you look at the efforts that were made this year, and I think there were extraordinary efforts to bring young people into the electorate this time. They were concentrated heavily on college campuses, in part because it's so much easier to reach college students. They're all in one place. Oftentimes, the institution is cooperating. So both parties targeted college campuses. The tough people to reach, the tough young potential voters, are those who are working in positions in the service industry, in the blue-collar industry, where they may be, the only young person at the counter, for example. And, I don't think we have any evidence that the turnout increase among that group was anywhere near it was among the college educated.
Let's get another caller on the line. Adam's with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Neil. I just want to say I love your show. Listen to it every single day.
Thank you very much.
I'm a young voter. I just turned 20 a week ago, and I was very excited to get out and go vote this year because it personally meant a lot to me, and I was a heavy supporter for John Kerry. I went out and worked with the Kerry campaign, and a lot of my friends and a lot of people around my age were also very excited. And then once we see the results and Bush won, I understand that North Carolina, here where I live, is a very Republican state, but at the same time, a lot of the younger voters do feel very, very defeated in the fact that the Kerry campaign didn't come through. And what I'm afraid of personally as a young voter myself and listening to other friends of mine talk after the election is that they are going to lose interest when it comes around in 2008.
Thanks very much, Adam. And let me put that question to Thomas Patterson. Obviously, there's no way to measure that, but that's certainly got to be a concern.
Well, I think it is a concern. There was an increase in the youth vote in 1992. It actually jumped about 5 percentage points.
Candidate did it spill for that time?
Well, it went toward Clinton, but that was an interesting race. I mean, that was Clinton and the first George Bush, and then Ross Perot was in there. And I think Perot helped to stir things up in 92, as did a weak economy. And then we go to the Clinton reelection campaign in 1996, and the bottom fell out on the electorate as a whole and also young people. And it dropped, almost 10 points. So, I think Adam raises a good point as to whether this will be sustained or not. And I think it's going to depend a bit on national conditions. I mean, this time it was not only the efforts of groups like Rock the Vote, because Rock the Vote's been out there for several elections. It's been a long-term player in terms of trying to bring young people in to the polls. But we had an unusual combination of very powerful issues, Iraq, the economy, in some states, the moral issues, same-sex marriage. These things came together with the efforts of many groups to increase voting among the young. And if we go into 2008 and these issues have quieted down and the various groups kind of sit back and don't make the effort they did this time, we could see some slide in the participation gain we had this time.
Adam, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much, Neil.
Here's an email we got from Lauren, who describes herself as a 20-year-old student in Santa Cruz, California. My feelings about getting the youth to vote is finding issues that affect them. For example, she writes, the draft was a major issue for young voters this year. The draft, well, a lot of people would say that was an effort by people on the Democratic side to pander to the youth vote, since President Bush wasn't in favor of the draft.
Well, you know, I think Lauren has a point, but I think there's a larger point. We hear that argument from young voters a lot. They're not talking about my issues. They're not talking about college loans and the like. But, you know, that's true of almost every group. There are issues that strike right at our interests, but these tend to be smaller issues. And it's those large issues like the state of the economy, which affects us all, like the conflict in Iraq, which affects us all. And I think young voters would be advised to kind of raise their sights and look at issues in the context of where the country is going, what's good for the country, and then sort of look at whatever smaller piece they might have that's of special concern to them.
One reliable characteristic of young voters is, unreliability. Joining us now to talk about how the parties can best appeal to this historically variable demographic is Samuel Popkin. He studies campaign strategy at Stanford University's Center for Advanced Study in the Behavioral Sciences. Professor Popkin is with us by phone from his office in Stanford, California. Thanks very much.
I'm glad to be here.
From a strategic standpoint, what do campaigns have to do differently to actually reach young people?
Well, frankly, they have to be very careful about reaching young people without a message that will alienate more regular voters. One of the problems is finding issues that people will notice and say they're my issues.
Mm-hmm.
One way you do this often is let subsidiary groups get to students. Churches who are active on many campuses can do very well at mobilizing young churchgoers. The environmental groups can also do the same thing, because they appeal more directly often to young voters than does a umbrella party that young people will say those aren't, quote, my issues.
We heard so much about the Internet this time around. Is that an appropriate vehicle?
Well, it's a vehicle, but it's so easy that it's cheap and it's hard to make a political message separate from spam. The Internet is useful if you have something people really already want to know, then they'll use the Internet to find it. But it's so cheap and it's so simple that it can be overloaded with 1,000 messages. A party's biggest problem is to get something that you're interested in. Tom Patterson mentioned how interested everybody was in 92. They went and found the information. They went to Flock when they heard Clinton would be on Arsenio Hall. Now what you can do with the Internet is put the appearances back up so they can find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps, because everybody who's a professor who's had a child go to college knows their hours are not our hours. So the nice thing about the Internet is the time shift. Here's the clip you want. Go get it when you want.
Here's an email from Rosen, and Tom Patterson, I'd like to get you to weigh in on this as well. The last statistics she wrote I saw were that only 50% of young people attended college or university. So then why is the youth vote only talked about in terms of college students? And, Samuel Popkin, you were just talking about campuses yourself.
Well, it's very hard to get to people when they don't own property, when they're not settled in a neighborhood, and when they're moving very often. You know, there was a wonderful story about the ways in the new suburbs of Florida, Republicans spent 4 years with barbecues and flags and rallies getting to people in a neighborhood context, and you get a reinforcement there. But when you're on campus, you switch dorms and apartments, you know, so regularly that it's hard to build up a communication habit locally to reinforce it. And if you're off campus, it's even harder to find a place where you hang out.
Tom Patterson, you were talking about much the same difficulties of finding young people who were not on college campuses.
Oh, I think it's a major problem. And, it's one of the reasons that this gap in participation among the college educated and the non-college educated is growing. I would add one thing to what Sam Popkin said earlier, and he's quite right in that in many ways what the parties need to do and candidates need to do is to delegate some of this responsibility to to groups, and we saw a lot of that actually in the 2004 election. But there's something else too, and that's changing people's attitudes about political participation. And I don't know what the polls ultimately will show, but I detected a change on the part of young adults in terms of how they see voting. Not necessarily that it's cool, but that it's a bit cooler than it once was. And one of the things we've lost over time, I think, is this strong sense of civic duty that in my generation drove people, the first time to vote. Yeah, I voted. Every time since, I voted, largely because I had, as a child, developed this sense of civic duty. We've lost some of that. And I think an election like this and the efforts that were made kind of reawakens citizens of all ages, but particularly young adults who don't have those deeper experiences, that voting is part of citizenship. And when you dig in, it can make a difference.
Let's get a caller in on this conversation.
Can I comment on that?
Can we get a caller in first?
Sure.
All right. Trevor joins us now from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi. I'm 19 years old. I don't go to college. I just work. I'm actually driving a delivery van as we speak. And I just wanted to comment on this election. I felt marketed to as if, like, clothes were marketed to and whatnot. And I just want to know how you felt about that. It just seemed like a fad to me.
And did you vote, by the way, Trevor?
Yes, I did. I voted Libertarian.
Okay. Let's get a response. Samuel Popkin, did you want to get back in?
Well, Trevor, it sounds like it might have worked if you were marketed and then you voted. One of the problems is even getting people to be aware of the ads. Tom pointed out the sense of duty. Nothing seems to raise the sense of duty among the young as much as national security, and nothing would be is better than national security meshed with the draft. The 1972 election, young voters turned out in much higher numbers, I think, than any election since. We haven't seen this year's numbers, but I'd be shocked if they approached what they did when there was a draft. The draft seems to make people aware, like nothing else, that who aren't paying property taxes or something, that this is really something that matters to you, and you're going to have to pay attention, and then the duty clicks in. And I think that Richard Nixon understood exactly what he was doing when he took away the draft. Hmm.
Trevor, did your friends vote?
Yeah, most of them did. Most of them were strong John Kerry supporters, and that was the campaign that seemed to do that the most because, I mean, they didn't seem to be that informed about stuff like the draft. Like, people would say, oh, yeah, there's going to be a draft, when it was introduced by Democrats just to scare people, pretty much, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Trevor, thanks very much for the vote and for the call.
Yeah.
Didn't vote for me. And Samuel Popkin, he said Democrats, and we've gotten a lot of anecdotal reports that Democrats reached young people better. Would you agree with that?
I await the final results. I believe that the Republicans did very well on more conservative campuses and young people who were churchgoers. So I await the straightening out of the final polls to see just how well Democrats did with young voters compared to Republicans.
Samuel Popkin, thanks very much for being with us.
Pleasure.
Samuel Popkin studies campaign strategy at the Center for Advanced Study in Behavioral Sciences at Stanford University. He was with us by phone from his offices at Stanford. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Thomas Patterson, of the professor of government and the press at Harvard's Kennedy School, is still with us. Let's get another caller on the line. Bela joins us from Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, hi, Neil. Thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity. Yeah, I'm a store owner, record store owner here in town. I'm 36. So I'm just over that cusp. But I noticed here in Columbus, where our store is located right across the street from Ohio State, roughly 80,000 people live in the Ohio State neighborhood. One of the problems here in Columbus and in other towns throughout Ohio was small, minimal voting machines in the precincts. In fact, in the three precincts around Ohio State, they actually had less voting machines than they had in the primaries, which I'm positive that was a concerted effort by Secretary of State Blackwell. And the last vote, as I understand it, cast in Ohio was at Kenyon College, where they only had two voting machines, and that was at 3:30 Wednesday morning. Now, what I think why kids, especially college kids, gravitated towards Kerry, and it wasn't so much of the draft, although that was part of it, but he talked about being socially engaged, free college tuition, that sort of stuff, and that is something that the Democratic Party has always shown back from FDR, of the government engaging the young and not the young having to engage the government.
Mm-hmm.
And furthermore...
And if you keep it quick, Baylor.
Okay, college kids these days are more closer to the working poor than they were 20 years ago. Most of the kids that I know that come and frequent this area have 2 and 3 jobs, and they can't wait in line to vote for 2 and 3 hours at a time.
I do have some bad news for you, Baylor. 36 is not just on the cusp of that 29-year-old demographic anymore. This doesn't get better. So hang in there. But thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we get one more caller in. And this is James in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hello.
Hi.
I voted Republican. And, it was a choice I made. I looked at the candidates and I looked at the people that were the rock stars and people that were, courting the vote. And, I was kind of offended by the fact that they, were pushing their vote, trying to get us to vote with them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite feel like they represented us, or me, me in particular. I took many things into consideration. Like, I think my views largely mirrored older people's views.
Mm-hmm.
But at 20 years old, I looked at the war and I said, do I agree with these presidents? And, I picked a group of people that I agreed with. And I think that a lot of people I knew, I'm 20 years old, I go to college. A lot of people I knew, they either picked a group, their views weren't necessarily represented, but they picked a group that they felt, helped them. I don't know. Yeah. So.
Okay, James, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Well, we just have a little bit of time left, Thomas Patterson, but what do you make of it, and what is it that you think could be invoked by either or both parties to keep young people engaged next time?
Well, one of the points that James made was about all of these people who were involved this time, the celebrities and the like. And to be honest with you, I liked it. I think it made politics fun. And when campaigns were invented by Andrew Jackson in the 1830s, that was kind of the idea, to get people excited about these things. But for young people particularly, I think we've got to somehow get rid of some of these artificial barriers to participation. We've got things in our system that make it hard for people to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it like not having enough voting machines. But, registration, if you've never registered before, that's a bigger hurdle than you might think. And most citizens have no idea what the registration deadline is in their state. And when they miss it, they can't participate. So we have to, I think, work on those things.
Well, we're going to carry this conversation over into the next segment. So if you have calls about how young people voted or votes about how young people voted, the number is 800-989-8255 or email us totn@npr.org. Back after a break, I'm Neil Conan. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Today we're discussing the youth vote, and we've pretty well determined that it was a much larger turnout than 4 years ago, though the overall percentage of young people voting was about the same as 4 years ago. Our guest is Thomas Patterson, professor of government and the press at Harvard's Kennedy School and author of The Vanishing Voter, Public Involvement in an Age of Uncertainty. And I did want to ask you a question about the youth vote, and that is that tactically, in the past, a lot of political campaigns have said, look, we need young people for volunteers. We need them to knock on doors and man the phone banks. But in terms of targeting time to bring out the youth vote, that's a waste of time. Has that calculation changed?
Well, it may have. I mean, again, I think part of the surge in youth voting this time was the conditions of this election, the big issues that were out there. And it's not inconceivable that if we have a small issue election in 2008, trying to get young voters to the polls may be like pulling teeth. But I think if we've changed some attitudes and there's some excitement around the 2008 election, I think we'll see an adjustment in the candidate strategies.
Let's get another caller on the line. Lisa joins us from St. Louis.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well.
I'm not only a young voter, I'm 26, but I'm also a teacher of young voters. I teach at several two-year associates colleges in the St. Louis area here, and there is an amazing amount of enthusiasm in all my classes. I teach English comp, and we do persuasion activities. And it, you said the word is election. I was done for the day. I just stood back and listened to them argue about things. So it was really a very interesting period for us as teachers, too.
And if you would have said, is there any, obviously you weren't teaching there 4 years ago, so you don't know what the difference was.
No, not then. I was still one of those students at that point.
I see. Okay. Did you vote last time?
I did. I voted for Mr. Gore. And so I'm kind of 0-2 right now, but I still think voting is an essential part of our democracy, and I'm always really glad to make sure that our students have the opportunity to do that too, and to really propose it, because my students are not our two-year associates kids. They're not the ones who are going into four-year colleges. They get overlooked a lot by these drives. There are going to be our automotive mechanics and our nursing assistants and all those folks, and I think their votes are just as important. So.
Okay. Thanks very much, Lisa.
Thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. And that's, I guess, the final question. It seems to be election-driven and issue-driven, as you said, big-issue elections or small-issue elections. We don't know what we're going to have next time. So there's no way to describe the older voter. That's a pretty reliable vote in this country. Young people, not so reliable.
No, I think that's right. But there is one thought about that, and that is that if you can get people to vote once, you stand a better chance of getting them back to the polls, not every time necessarily, but with some reasonable frequency. And so, you know, I do think we've gained something, but I don't think we'll know until 2008 and the conditions of that election whether essentially we've turned the corner on this long four-decade slide in voter participation, you know, whether we're in a new era.
Thomas Patterson, thanks very much for being with us today.
Neil, thank you.
Thomas Patterson at the Harvard Kennedy School, author of The Vanishing Voter, and he joined us by ISDN line from Harvard's campus there in Boston, Massachusetts.